here on the Thursday show. I'm Tom DiPietro, absent Ellen Thurston, the beloved Ellen Thurston. And my guest in the second half of the show is Zach Foyer, the co-owner of a new gallery here in the beautiful city of Hudson called Retrospective Gallery. I'm going to ask him about that title. It's at 727 Warren Street. And hello, Zach.
Hi, how are you?
Great. You are a gallerist. You prefer curator or I don't know if you've ever heard our show, but we're very concerned here with the whole notion of curation.
Yes.
And if you read that recent New York Times article about Hudson, you know, everything in this town is curated.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see right now, I'm curating a pair of glasses,
sure.
And yeah, I have a little collection.
I don't go by curator or gallerist. I'm an art dealer.
You're an art dealer. There you go. That's what I want to hear.
Yep.
You're out there to sell pictures.
Exactly. I think that's one of the best things I can
Excellent.
Do for an artist is get them funds to keep making work.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
And your partner's name is?
Joel Messler.
Messler. And he too is he a curator or is he an art dealer?
He's an
also?
Art dealer.
Good.
Yeah.
So you're into the cash nexus.
I try to be.
I mean, art and commerce, nothing wrong with that, right?
Exactly.
Hey, you got my vote.
Yeah.
I went in the other day and saw your new space. It's a nice space, very simple.
Yes.
You painted the walls.
And that's about it. Yeah, so we've got an old busted floor and, you know, the storefront left from the last place and minimal work
I enjoyed the paintings by, I forget the young artist's name.
Jamie and Giuliani Villani.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're an art dealer, but, you know, I picked up the little guide and there were no prices on it.
Yes.
How are you going to sell it without telling us the price?
Once the paintings sell, we don't put the prices out there anymore.
Oh, they're all sold.
Those paintings are sold
they're
already.
They're all sold.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not a bummer. It's a great thing.
No, I mean, for me,
yeah.
I have my eyes on a couple.
Yeah.
Not that I can afford them. Who knows?
Yeah.
But there are a couple I really, really liked.
Yeah.
So were they sold from this exhibit or
they were.
Wow.
Primarily through people who emailed us looking for that artist's work or who saw it on the website or called us. It wasn't we didn't meet new Hudson collectors with this show. We hopefully will with the next one. But that was, you know, me and Joel both have galleries in New York City, so that was sold to sort of our regular collector base there.
So tell me how you got into the gallery business.
I went to art school and I made mediocre art.
Where'd you go?
To the museum school in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was kind of frustrated and, you know, general art student angst. And I thought that I would fight the system and do a show in my apartment and just not deal with the system, the gallery system, the museums, any of that stuff that didn't want to have anything to do with me. And I just did a show. And the show in my apartment got a little bit of press. And I met someone who owned a gallery who hired me to come work for him for the summer. And then eventually he decided he wanted to invest in a gallery in New York City and hired me to go run it. And eventually, as I was running it for a few years, I was doing more and more and I got a little bit of equity and eventually I saved enough to be able to buy them out. And then I kept it going. So,
is that the same profile of your partner here?
He's a little bit different. He started off also, he was an artist, but also he published prints, he was doing private dealing, and he started originally with his gallery in Los Angeles and then moved to New York maybe 8 or 9 years ago to start his gallery there.
So with that first gallery in your apartment, was it just your friends or?
Yeah, it was other art students. It was my teachers. I put out a call on the internet, which was rough at that point. This was the late 90s. And people sent in submissions, and I just, you know, put things up in my apartment.
How many pieces did you have in that? Do you remember?
Oh, probably a couple hundred, maybe
really?
80 or 90 artists.
A big apartment. Yeah, it was Boston, I guess.
It was a 400-square-foot apartment.
Oh.
So, but people would do installations in drawers. They would do things in my bathtub.
Whoa, back up. Yeah. Back up. Installation in drawers. That's
so
cool.
Yeah, we had
what, like little pencil displays?
Well, one artist took a drawer of a chest drawer out and emptied it out and filled it with Jell-O. And so you'd open the drawer up and there'd be this big mass of Jell-O in there, and that was her piece. But other people did sound pieces that people modified my furniture. They modified my books. The idea was everything in the show had to sort of naturally fit into an apartment.
Wow.
So there was, you know, my toothbrush was changed. Ice cubes in the fridge were changed. You know, everything was sort of tweaked a little bit.
That reminds me of a show I saw down in D.C. where an apartment or a small apartment was made totally out of knitted products.
Cool.
Did you ever see that?
I think so. An Asian artist, right?
Yeah.
Duhoso. Yeah. I don't know how to say his name, but yeah.
It was pretty wild.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was made out of knitting products. It was pretty crazy. And I know you have a little thing in the... I looked for it. I didn't look really carefully, but apparently there's a tile being curated in the new space?
Yeah, it hasn't launched yet.
Oh, it hasn't launched. No wonder I couldn't find it.
It's going to start in a month or two. Tom Eccles, who's the director of the museum at Bard, is going to curate a show underneath this 12 by 12 inch loose tile in the floor every month. And that'll be more established artists than are generally exhibiting in the gallery. So he'll be working within his network to bring people in to do very, very small shows. So,
neat. Yeah. I remember over, I think it was in Northampton, somebody had a vending machine, that little art things. You could, you know, put money in the vending machine, little art things came out. That's pretty
sounds
cool.
Sounds fun, yeah.
So your idea is, of course, to expand, is not just, I can't call it traditional painting, but it is. That it, her work is figurative painting in
it
a
is,
way.
Yeah.
It's partly abstract, partly figurative. But my point is you're willing to deal with any kind of media.
Oh, yeah. The gallery is not medium specific. I find artists I'm interested in and let them do whatever they want. And it's also not specific to that space. You know, that we're starting under the tile and in that space, but we're also, I'm hopefully going to be working in a row house on Carroll Street and do installations there in a more domestic setting. And whenever there's, you know, an empty space that I can find at a reasonable rate, I want to do a show in there.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to have a couple things going on at once.
In your gallery in the city, was a lot of it installation? Did you do some of these home installation type
things? No. The gallery in the city is a fairly traditional Chelsea gallery with white walls and fancy lighting, and it doesn't look anything like here. And that model is a little less experimental in that I represent 12 artists and I manage their careers and I do shows with them every 2 years. And it's a little bit more straightforward than here.
Are they all young artists, your 12 artists?
No, it ranges.
Ranges?
Yeah.
How do you pick an artist?
I get most of my information from other artists. So I talk to artists and I listen to what they're into, and if their ideas I like, I go to someone else's studio and talk some more. So yeah, basically, I just like to listen to artists and hear what they're saying.
Do you ever influence the artist in how they pursue their career?
I try not to. I don't think that I do. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, let's say they only have a certain number of works for a show. Do you like say, hey, get on the ball, we need more stuff?
No, I don't. You know, like I leave the space totally up to them. If they want to hang one painting, one piece, they can.
Right.
You know, it's and part of an artist's development is learning how to put together an exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something I interfere with. Yeah.
So you see your role then as largely, you know, bringing them to an audience, to potential buyers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And on that end, mm-hmm. how hard is that to deal with? I mean, do you find, I mean, you know, I've been reading some of these articles about, well, like Jed Pearl, for example, mm-hmm. who's, you know, completely disgusted with the contemporary market and how it's developed. I mean, what's your feeling about stuff like that?
I don't think that the market is particularly intelligent right now. I think there's a lot of people in it who are speculating, and they're all generally looking at, you know, abstract painting by young white men, and they tend to go buy as much of that as they can, and they'll mm-hmm. jack up the prices and move it on to the next. But I think there are other sides of the market that are neglected that are particularly exciting. Like, there's tons of parts of the art world that could need more of that sort of frenzied economic mm-hmm. stimulus that's happening, and I'd like to, you know, point to those sides as much as I can.
Can you make that happen?
No, not alone. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, but with time, you know, people find the flaws in the market, and they end up going to the right things, or they don't, you know.
Yeah. Do you think a big part of it is your personal taste?
The personal taste? No,
in
I don't.
Selecting your artist? Or do you sometimes repress your own feelings about an artist because you know they might have a good position in the marketplace, so to speak?
No, I don't do it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I have to be excited about the ideas and about the work. I'm not going to do something I'm not into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would defeat the purpose. So.
Right, to bring art that you enjoy to the public. But at the same time, you know, like you said, you do want to make money. There's nothing
totally,
wrong with that.
Totally.
When I go to... I know what I was going to ask you. Have you explored the local art scene here at all in Hudson?
A little bit. There's a couple of artists who live in town who I'm going to be showing in here. You know, I was involved with Nada at the Basilica a few years ago.
Is that sort of how you learned about the Hudson scene? Or?
No, I've lived here for for 10 years.
Oh. Not full-time, obviously.
Full-time for the last few months. But I've been commuting to the city, you know, a couple times a week now for the Chelsea Gallery. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the scene seems really active. Like, that's part of the excitement of why I'm doing this here is I get to interact with the local scene. Like, there are artists here I'm pretty excited about talking to every month and having to see the shows and just being a part of it.
So. Who are some of the... Now, the artists who you have lined up for retrospective are all people from your gallery?
No, they're primarily people I've never worked with before.
Oh, okay. So you're developing a whole new group.
Yeah, and here in the gallery here, I'm not going to represent everyone. We'll probably do one show per person.
They might actually be affiliated with a different gallery?
Exactly. Okay. Whereas in the city, I represent people, and I show those 12 people over and over.
Right.
So here, it's one show and then something else.
Right.
And it allows me to keep it really sort of simple and small when I'm not dealing with the bigger issues of artist careers. I'm just doing one exhibition at a time. There's no artists at this point who show with me in Manhattan who are scheduled to show up here. But that could change.
And I mentioned that I was going to quiz you about the name of your gallery, Retrospective.
Right.
These are, I think your first artist was 27.
Yes, totally.
And was that a genuine retrospective, or was that kind of a joke?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, there's a kind of anxiety, I feel like, about a retrospective when you get to that point in your career, because who wants to be at a point when you're summing it up? But oftentimes I find that emerging artists in their first shows try and put everything in. They try and, like, actually sum up everything they've done before as a proof or a validation of what happened in the past. So this, I wanted it to be a retrospective of sorts, but it's a retrospective at the very beginning of someone's career. And in general, it's work they're making specifically for the show, not loans or things that we're borrowing back.
So in the case of Jamian?
Yes.
How many years do you think that represented for work?
About 4 months.
Really?
Yes. Wow. So maybe 6 months. Yeah, 7 paintings. She makes about a painting a month, I would say. So, yeah, 4 to 6 months. So... It's not a retrospective in the traditional sense. It's more retrospective, just summing
what
up right before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also sounds kind of silly to say,
right,
you know, the name of the artist, retrospective, you know. So,
So you say you have a sense that you'd like to not just use that one little space, but also get further integrated into the whole town in terms of the art scene.
Hopefully.
To go back to, I knew I had another question I meant to ask about determining, like, when you set prices for paintings, obviously it's got to be based partly on what's already sold.
Right.
But let's say you have a new artist. How do you come up? I mean, you just kind of look at the whole marketplace?
Yeah, there's a sort of general price points, you know, based on how far an artist is in their career.
Do you sort of figure out comparable artists or something like that? Is that relevant?
A little bit like that, you know. You try to do it based on what the career has been so far, not the demand today.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a slow and steady rise as opposed to fluctuating with the demand. There's just sort of general guidelines we use based on how old the artists are and how long they've been showing.
Now with your 12 artists, what do you call somebody, a house artist? Or whatever? I mean, gallery artists. Do you actually, do people like that? I know I've read enough about artists, you know, that sometimes they're put on like a salary from the gallery. Does that happen anymore?
That does not happen, but occasionally with some galleries, not my gallery, people will get a big advance to produce a show if the show needs a lot of assistance or material or studio space. But that tends to happen on larger ones. I'm sure there are galleries that do stipends still for their artists, but not at my scale.
Now, you're a little, I don't mean to be condescending, but the show that was here generated quite a bit of ink, I shouldn't call it ink anymore because a lot of it's digital, but... Is that part of what you see is like what you have to do is make sure people are there to see it and to write about it and to think about it?
Well, more people see work online now than they do in real life.
Really?
So I definitely focus as much as possible on the documentation of things and making sure that everything is out there in the world for people in Nebraska or China to see. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the Manhattan Gallery, we sell at this point about the same amount or more through email and Instagram and Facebook than we do in the physical space. So
people will buy without ever having seen something physically?
Well, sometimes they'll see another example by that artist at an art fair, and they'll be waiting for a painting to come along. And when it does, then I can send them an image of it, and they'll know. But yeah, oftentimes now, or they'll see it, and then we'll ship it to them on approval, or it'll work that way. But, you know, it's a lot of that communication happens that way now, which is nice. I think it allows me to sell art in Hudson, you know.
Do buyers try to negotiate a lot?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So
because they know it's not like...
The richer they are, the bigger the discount they ask for.
That's funny, because I know a personal case where that's definitely true. And it's totally. Like, really? You're going to ask for a discount? With the?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody who's... You know.
No, so I mean, with the artist who's just starting out and is 27, like most collectors aren't trying to beat me up on a price, but, you know, it does happen where people are like, oh, I'm such a great collection.
That's what I was just going to say, the sort of Donald Trump effect.
Right.
You should be honored that I want you in my collection,
exactly.
So give me a break.
And it works.
And it works. Does it really, does a private collection have that much, I mean, is it known?
There's lots of private collections where they open themselves up publicly, and there's an exposure value to being in that, and collectors who are not as... well-known as them tend to mimic or copy those collections like the Rubels or Rosa Dela Cruz, where they have a museum for their own collection. So, there is a value to that, and they end up getting a bigger discount because of that. And it's unfortunate. Shouldn't work that way, but it does.
You know about the two fellows who just started this foundation, Second Ward Foundation here in Hudson?
I haven't met them yet.
You know what I'm talking about? The purpose partly, I hope to get them on the show, the purpose partly is to exhibit their own collection.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that's sort of what you're talking about. When you have a place where you're exhibiting your own collection and circulating your collection, it kind of helps you as a collector, I guess, to negotiate.
For sure.
I don't personally buy art because I can't really afford it. I have some things, friends and things like that. But I've always felt that at a certain point, you know, a museum piece is a museum piece, you know, and... It's amazing to think how many people actually own stuff that's museum quality.
Right.
That's just a side editorial note of no importance. So you've been living on and off. I mean, you've had a house or a house here or in Hudson for 10 years.
Yeah.
So was it watching the kind of development that Hudson has gone through that made you think this is a place to do this? Why didn't you pick Chatham or Clive?
New York City public schools. We started with my daughter in kindergarten for like a week and freaked out, and then came up here and started at Hawthorne Valley. And then,
your family's here full time.
Yeah.
So
that's really what did it. You know, I don't think there's a great difference in the audience between New York City and Hudson. I mean, there's a visual awareness here and there.
But then your choices locally could have been, you know, there were other towns, but.
I like Hudson.
Yeah, I do too. That's why I live here.
Yeah.
But we can't be too Hudson-centric on this show since we are broadcasting both in Columbia and Greene counties.
Okay. I like Columbia and Greene County.
You might think of little spaces over in Catskill just to spread it around when you're doing your little installations. Wow. Prices are cheaper there.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a developing scene, I think, in Catskill, especially with a number of projects going on over there that, you know, might make it happen at some point to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So tell us about a couple of the artists you have coming up soon, next. When does this end?
This ends Valentine's Day. And then...
Is she going to be here again?
She's going to come up. There's going to be a closing. And then right after that is a show... where it's an artist whose work I really like, but he hasn't told me anything about what he's doing for the show. Van Hanos. So that's going to be kind of a surprise for me also. I'm hoping I'll see pictures soon. And then right after that, I'm showing two artists who work locally for a while, Letha Wilson and Jason Middlebrook, who are, he's Hudson-based still. She's now in Brooklyn. And he works a lot with the landscape and natural elements and modifies them. So they have these kind of almost psychedelic references with inside of nature. And then after that is an artist who lives in Great Barrington, is also working with a Brooklyn artist, Joe Bradley, and he's going to do a series of collaborative drawings with his friend Brian Bellot.
So you're interested in combining shows of people who are regional as well as people up from the city?
Yeah, all of the two-person shows that I have scheduled are artists who are friends with each other.
Okay.
I want to keep it pretty low-key and pretty fun and allow them to kind of self-curate or self-organize the way that they see fit.
Well, I encourage people to go now. I mean, what your hours are what?
Tuesday, or no, that's my city hours. Here are Saturday and Sunday, 12 to 6.
And to see the exhibit right now, it's full of funny pop references, and I was particularly intrigued. I didn't get the titles of all of them, but the one that has all the John Travolta character in the middle, I don't know what that was called, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then there was another one with a sort of director in the bottom right corner, which I recognized from a poster I have in my room from the cover of Raw magazine. You know what I'm talking about, then?
Yeah, do you know what you're talking about?
And
I didn't get that reference. In the yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Total,
yeah.
It's she's doing the right. same thing that the cover does. It's a right. it's a Jarsch Schwut, I don't know how to say his name.
Right.
Illustration of making comics as if it's a like a manufacturing place. It's a really cool cover, and that's sort of the theme. I assume that's
the artist
the artist in there, sort of doing the same kind of thing. So it's a pretty funny painting.
Cool.
Anyway. So beyond, you're going to have any performance art?
I might, I don't know yet.
Got a lot of competition here now. You
yeah,
know?
I do.
Well, not yet, but,
no, I had nothing scheduled, but okay. I might, you know, I should.
Just don't make it durational.
I'll keep it short. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your future here on Warren Street?
Just come visit Saturday and
come
Sunday.
Visit. It's at 727.
Yep, 727 Warren Street.
Warren Street. It's where JoJo's Closet was for a brief moment. Do you know what's going on next door to you, by the way?
It's another gallery from
another gallery.
Birmingham is coming. They're going to open in May.
Oh, do you know them?
I just met them.
Yeah. Are they up from the city or somebody?
They're
just
from Western New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we wish you lots of success, and I'm glad you brought your art to Warren Street because we can always use more.
thanks
a lot, and thanks for coming in. We've been talking to Zach Foyer, the co-owner, the art dealer, and co-owner of the new gallery Retrospective on Warren Street here in the beautiful city of Hudson, New York.